Welcome to the keynote stage. So my name is Mark Walsh. I'm the founder of this conference and part of the leadership team with Daniela and Manel. We have got quite a feast, quite a treat in store for you. The main stage doesn't have all the top names on. Some of them are spread out for various logistical reasons, but there are some awesome presenters on this stage. This stage is also sponsored by Alain Stefani. When we first had the idea of getting sponsors, I basically said, I won't take anyone as a sponsor unless I love what they do, because otherwise it doesn't have any integrity for me. I didn't know who Alain Stefani was, but I met her in Berlin. Someone said, oh, she's an intimacy teacher, she's an ex-sex worker, best-selling author in Germany. And I said, okay, well, I'll meet her. And I met her. And as soon as I met her, I felt at ease. I felt like, wow, this is a person who's playful, but also a deep listener. This is a woman who's a real leader. Since I've seen her work with people in very, you know, around trauma, around intimacy, around very difficult areas, men and women, I've come to regard her as a friend, actually. Like, I love her. So go to her website and check it out. It's Alain, I-L-A-N, Stefani, S-T-E-P-H-A-N for November, I. AlainStefani.com. There's an offer there called Love and Rage, which is as juicy as it sounds. You'll also find links in the descriptions for the videos below.
And with us here today is Hamed Ali, also known as A.H. Almas. Hamed is the author of, I think, 18 different books. He has studied physics. And I'm totally delighted because years back I read The Diamond Approach as well as his approach to Enneagram. And I read the book and thought like, wow, I thought I'm unique, but this is actually a pattern. And that is something which apparently a lot of people experience. So that was quite an aha moment. And Hamed founded the Diamond Approach, and today he is here for a talk about, let me check, the spirituality, the spiritually alive body, the mysterious and fascinating relation of body and spirit. Hamed, I'm happy to have you. Please take it away.
Thank you, Daniela. Well, hello, everybody. I'm going to talk about what I mean by the title, basically, explain the title in this talk and this presentation. And it's the question, spiritually alive body, really refers to the embodiment of spiritual realization. The embodiment of spiritual illumination, how spiritual illumination is in the body, lives through the body, transform the body. And that way we see some interesting relationship between the physical and the spiritual. I'm usually a spiritual teacher, that's what I usually do. But I'm quite familiar with body work, body discipline of various kinds. And to really start this discussion about what a spiritually alive body means, what does spirituality in the body is, what does the body and spirituality has to do with each other, I would like to start with practices, with physical practice, but it is actually a spiritual practice, spiritual exercise, but using the body. And the way we do this is you sit, you know, as straight as you can. You can't do this exercise lying down or reclining. It's better to sit in a chair, usually good, on the edge of a, you know, bench or something, with your feet on the ground. And then you close your eyes. Close your eyes and you start feeling, sensing your right foot. As you see, it's going to be very physical. You want to sense your right foot. That means you're not thinking about it. You're really feeling it the way, right, in the location of the right foot. The temperature, the pressure, the sensations, the foot, the toes, and then So as you sense it, it's like the foot becomes full of sensations, comes to life, depending on how open our body has been. The body, the more it's open, the more the sensation becomes like a teeming sensations in the body, which, and then the practice is to move the sensation to the ankle, to the right ankle. You start sensing the right ankle inside and outside, whatever it is. You sense there, sense it. It's pressure, it's just the feel of the ankle, and then you move, sensation moves up the right leg and up into the calf, the leg, the muscles, you sense the bones, and the leg in and out, outside and inside. And so sense it, feel it with the nerve ends as completely as possible. You might be able to feel some of it, not all of it, depends on the person. You might feel nothing. Some people are numb, some people are empty, some people are very embodied. They feel the sensation, you feel the leg. Now the thoughts can come and go in different states inside emotion. Let them happen, don't follow them, don't worry about them, just continue with the exercise of sensing your legs. And now your sensation reaching your right knee. So you're sensing your right knee from inside and outside, whether it's warm or cold or tense or relaxed. There's a pattern of sensation as we move, and then goes the sensation up the right thigh, inside and outside, and you're feeling your thigh touching the chair, and the muscles, of course, the thigh is bigger than the leg usually, so there's a more field of sensations, and the sensation goes up all the way to your sit bone, to the right side of your buttocks, sitting on the chair or the bench. So you see, feeling the pressure, or maybe heat, maybe different kind of sensations, can be comfortable, uncomfortable, doesn't matter, as long as it's just pure sensation or the physicality. As you feel your leg and your right butt, you move to your right hand now. You go start sensing your right hand, the fingers, the palm of the hand, the upper part of the hand, inside it. You don't need to do anything with it, just sense it with your nerve end, as if your consciousness is right there in the hand. It's not like, you know, from the brain, you're sensing, no, you're sensing right in the hand. I know, you know, in term anatomy, the brain and the nervous system has something to do with it, but that's not our concern. Our concern is sensing the field of sensation in the right hand, and then the right hand goes up the arm, wrist, and the arm sensation going on. You don't move, you don't need to move the body, you just sense it. And go up the right arm, all the way to the right elbow, and then you feel the elbow, and then you go up the right upper arm. Sensation as if it's, as if your arm is full of a fluid of sensation, almost a fluid. It's usually a field, you could say, or a continuous sensation, or a swarm of sensation. They're going up the right arm all the way to the right shoulder. You feel your right shoulder, whether it's tension, relaxation, whatever, let it happen. You don't do anything. If something happened, let it be. As I said, don't worry about your thoughts or what's happening in the other part of your body. You just stay with this focus, because it's a concentration meditation, this one. So you're focusing on your right shoulder, and then you move to your left shoulder. So the sensations have sort of shifted, the sea of sensation, the field of sensation shifted to your left shoulder, and filling the left shoulder with sensation. You might feel pressure or tension or whatever kind of patterns, and say you have there is fine, everybody's a little different. And then you move down the left arm, the upper arm, down to the elbow, left elbow, you feel your left elbow, and then down the lower arm, as if it's the fluid flowing down, now slowly filling the left arm with sensation. Just the sensation of the physicality. Then you move on to all the way to the left wrist, and to the left hand, feeling the left hand, palm, upper part of the hand, the fingers, sense them all. And the nerve ends, not with the imagination. And then now you move to the left hip, and the hip sit in the sit bone, the left hip and hip joint, and you feel them, and you sense. It's a big area there, doesn't touch with the seat. But part of it is non-touch with the seat. You're feeling, you begin to feel your pelvis. But you focus on the right left hip, and then the sensation moves down to the left thigh, slowly going down the left thigh, filling the left thigh, the muscles might relax in the process, might let go if they were tense, and you might become aware of the tension, whatever it is. The particular information that comes is not as important as your ability to stay focused on just sensing the area. And then till you get to the left knee, and then you're sensing it. You're not trying to do anything to your body, you're just sensing it, becoming aware of it, and it wakes up this way. And go down the left leg, the calf, the whole leg, sensation flowing down, almost as if it's liquid of sensations, flowing down all the way to the left ankle, left foot, filling the left foot. The left foot comes to life with a swarm of sensations. The sole of the foot, the heel, the upper part of the foot, toes, all of them. You sense them everywhere. Whole foot. Now as you sense your whole foot, and you filled your foot with sensation, now start sensing all of your arm, all of your legs, all of your arms, both arms, both legs, all at the same time. Everything that we went through, sense them all simultaneously. If you know something about presence, you notice there is more presence now. You are more in your body. Your body is more alive. And the body in the middle, it will come to life on its own. You don't need to focus on it now, or the head. Now, as you sense in your arms and legs, you slowly open your eyes and add looking. You're already listening. So now you're sensing your arms and legs, looking and listening. And I think it'll be great while you're listening to me that you're sensing your arms and legs while you're listening and looking. That way you'll be more open and receptive to my presentation, because my presentation is not just my picture and my voice. There is a lot more to it, and the more we are in our body, the more we are sensing this exercise ourselves, the more we are, the more we can receive, the more we can learn. And this exercise that I just gave you, I call it sensing, looking, and listening. It is something, if you want to take it on as a practice, is a very powerful practice of presence, actually. We use it as a learning to be present. You could do it every morning when you wake up First thing you do after you go to the bathroom is you do this sensing, looking, and listening. You do it for 10 minutes or so, and then you start your day. And if you really want to continue the practice, you continue sensing your arm and leg throughout the day. That is a practice, it's called a practice of presence or self-remembering. So, you know, spiritually alive body being the spiritually alive physical, but your body, the way you're sensing it now. And for it to be spiritually alive, first it needs to be, we feel its aliveness. It's just physical aliveness. The physical aliveness can be felt more or less. So part of the spiritualizing the body for us to experience the spiritual aliveness of the body, the body need to be liberated. What does it mean to be liberated? It means liberated from its patterns of tensions. It's armoring, what's called as armoring, because much of our conditioning, mental and emotional conditioning, history, all is in our muscles, in our body, creating patterns of tension that tend to block the flow of energy and the openness of the body to its aliveness and to its deeper potential of spiritual dimensions. But for that to happen, it's a process. It is a process of liberating that body that is parallel to waking up to our spiritual nature. And spiritual nature imbuing our body with its mystery, light, love, and presence and awareness. So for that to happen, we need, what does it mean? So liberating the body from its tensions and its because it's not only it has tension, the tension and the armoring that come from all the emotional patterns make the body more opaque. It is thicker than it has to be. It is less open to its feeling itself and to feeling what can't come through the body, because spirit comes through the body in spiritual illuminations. The body is really the entry into our spiritual nature. It's not our mind or thinking mind. It's much more the body, because the spiritual nature, the consciousness, comes through the body, pervades the body, enlivens the body. So for this liberty, it's a process of working through all those patterns. Like I myself, I did bioenergetic, I did Reikin therapy, did all kind of Rolfing practice, all kind of stuff. So you just do exercises, physical exercise, or even yoga, that doesn't necessarily liberate you from the armoring of the body. When it doesn't open the body to its inner light. The body is still opaque in a way that we don't know. You know, most people don't know that their body is thick and opaque and not open and not transparent to what can come through it from within it. But the more it is liberated, the more that can happen. And then what can happen is that we can open to the nature of our consciousness. First of all, like for now, we're sensing our arms and legs, and you've done the practice with me of sending going up the arms and legs and down. Now, what does that mean? That means that really when you're feeling sensation in your arm, in your hand, like the sensation in my hand, as I'm feeling these beads in my hand, the sensation is really a consciousness. Consciousness of the hand. Like a sensation. When you feel the sensation and you feel, what is the sensation? You see, the sensation of the hand, but if you forget about the fact it is hand, it is just sensation, then it is a field of sensation. And if you just allow it to be just a field of sensation, it becomes what we call pure consciousness. So pure consciousness is really there, and it is its consciousness of the body, we call it sensation. That doesn't mean the usual physiological and anatomical understanding is about the neuron or is not true. That's all involved in it. But still, consciousness actually fills the body, is always filling the body. Because when you feel yourself, most of the time you're having emotion, feeling, whatever, you have a subjectivity. And the subjectivity is a field of consciousness. Because what is subjectivity? You're feeling something there. You're sensing something there. What is it? If you just feel and sense, well, it's like a whole medium of aliveness, a whole medium that is aware, that is conscious. You could say you're conscious of irritation, or you're conscious of tension, or you're conscious of sadness, or conscious of love, or whatever you're feeling. Whatever it is you're feeling, it is a consciousness that's conscious of it. And so the next step is consciousness, aware of these things, the consciousness will become conscious of itself, aware of these things. And that becomes what we call, we are aware of the presence of consciousness. And when we are aware of consciousness that way, as a presence of consciousness, not just the function of consciousness, it's conscious of the hand, conscious of the body, but consciousness conscious of itself. That becomes a self-knowing, self-conscious presence. It is a sense of feeling I am. The consciousness become the sense of what we are. We begin to know our true self as a pure consciousness. And that pure consciousness then fills the body, pervades the body, and it is actually can be bigger than the body, but we can feel at the beginning for most of us, we feel it as filling the body. But that consciousness can appear in many ways. It can appear as presence, as I said, and the presence is more a sense of living field, living medium, alive, and it is aware in all points of itself, like a fluid filling the body, aware of all, each atom is aware of itself in its location, and you're the totality of that, aware of yourself and all points of it, you're of this medium. That's what we call, I am now aware of my being or the presence of my consciousness. And that then fills the body, enlivens the body. And we, in fact, we might learn that this consciousness is not only fills the body, it's what makes the body alive. It is actually what gives life to the body. The life of the body is through the heart pumping and the brain working, all of that. But where does life come from? You can, through this consciousness and this presence, you can feel life itself. And this consciousness is pure life. And this pure life imbues the body with life and the body become feels alive. But it is the aliveness of the body, the physical aliveness of the body comes from pure consciousness, which is this, our spiritual nature. So it is spirit that makes the body alive. That's why some of the sages, like some of the Sufi sages, they have a saying, they talk about being, which is the presence of consciousness, which is our true self, that being is an ocean and the body is its shore. Like our being is an expanse of consciousness, it's like an ocean, but the body is the edge of it. The edge of it, because the shore, if you know, the shore of an ocean is still part of the ocean. It's still water, but the water meeting sand. So the meeting of the water with sand is what we call body. And that's a very good, actually, description of how one way of seeing the relationship of spirit and matter, spirit and body. So, but that also means that our consciousness can be a whole ocean. Ocean of that is sensing itself, just like you're sensing your arms and legs. If you really sense your arm and leg and do this practice for a period of time, for days or weeks, months or years. After a while, you're just aware of consciousness itself, not the body, the physical body. And then if you're aware of the consciousness itself, the sensation become the sensation of presence, which is a palpable sense of the medium, almost like a fluid medium that has viscosity, that has density, that has texture, that has fullness, that has bodiness. But the bodiness is similar to the physical body, but it is its own substance, its own existence. And that fills the body, and it fills the body, and it's not just fills it. It is, because it is non-physical, it pervades all the physical part, fills all the physical part. They are co-emergent. In fact, it fills the physical part so much, there is no more physical part where it doesn't go. It goes all the way to the organ, to the blood vessels, all the way to the molecule, to the atoms, to the quark, fills them all with consciousness. They are all nothing but this presence of consciousness, which is now manifesting as a body. So when the Sufi says being is an ocean and the body is shore, it means the body is in some sense is an expression of consciousness. But that is a deep place to really know. And most for most of us, the aliveness, spiritual aliveness of the body is we feel the spirit, the spiritual illumination, or the presence, or the pure awareness of consciousness. We just feel it filling the body, residing in the body, like right now, my belly feels full of some kind of fullness, some kind of textured kind of substance that is condensed light. You could say it's condensed light, condensed consciousness. It's full the way my thigh muscles are. However, it is not physical. But it fills the body and it goes down to my legs and fills them out. And so I'm feeling my legs, but I'm also feeling my being, my presence at the same time. So my legs and my body and the consciousness that I am are not separate at all. I cannot say, am I feeling my body or am I feeling my spiritual presence? They are the same for me. And then spiritual nature, the spiritual presence can change and transform in many ways. Can be just pure awareness, transparent, clear, and spacious. And the body feel like a spaciousness and clarity. You don't feel the shape of a body anymore. When the body is really, that's some of you might have known it, and like in deep massage, whatever, when the body is completely relaxed, when part of the body is completely relaxed, you stop feeling it, it's gone. It becomes full of emptiness. And this emptiness is not like the absence of awareness of the body, it is the awareness of the body become so intense that it became the awareness itself that is aware, and that one doesn't have a sense of a body. It's beyond the body, although it is embodied coming through the body. So it can be pure awareness, but the presence is not just pure awareness, can be pure love, can be full, sweet, and like a nectar that fills the heart and goes, flows through the body. You can feel the sweetness in your mouth. In fact, you feel the sweetness in your heart, as if your heart has tongues, taste buds. My heart has taste buds all over, actually. In fact, not only my whole body has taste buds. When I feel love, I feel it everywhere, all the way to my toes. Will you call that spiritually alive body? It is the body, but it is spirit at the same time. It's alive, but now alive as pure love, filling the whole body, come and the love coming through the body and in filling the whole room. I feel myself, I'm filling the whole room. Although I am fully aware of my body, I'm embodied, not disembodied. You see, many people, when they have spiritual experiences, if they have not worked through the stage of liberating the body of its armor, of its patterns of tension, whatever, their experience tend to be disembodied. They can, you can have spiritual experience, pure awareness and all of that, but it's coming through the head centers and you feel sort of expanded, whatever, but your body is sort of hanging there. It's thick, it's opaque. And so your experience is not embodied. And that way you cannot live that illumination in your life. You can't live it in your movement, interaction, the way you touch and the way you talk, the way you communicate. But the more our body is alive, it becomes integrated into our spiritual nature, in the present spiritual nature, and spiritual nature enlivens the body, and the body becomes alive in a way that we don't usually experience. I'm supposed to talk slow. But I hope that I don't know, slow enough, you know, I get sort of enthusiastically when I talk about being and spirit, because they're so beautiful. Our being, your being, is beautiful. It's a luminosity. It is love. It is nectar. And it is what animates your physical body. Your physical body is alive because you're in it, because you reside in it. When you leave the body is dead, it's just matter, not the way we usually feel it now. But the spirit resides, fills the body, animated, comes through the nervous system, the brain, all of that, that helps the differentiation and discrimination of the consciousness, so we know what is what in a more discrete, more concrete way. But really, the aliveness of the body can, spiritual life can happen in many ways. I'm talking about a process now, different ways of experiencing the aliveness of the body. The spiritual aliveness of the body, like right now, my hand, for instance, I'm moving it, right? I, the presence of being, moves the hand. It's not like an order came from the mind and told it to move and moved. No, it's true fullness that goes and moves it. It's dynamic, it's alive, and not only fills the place, but actually moves it. You actually can walk this way. Not easy for most people. It's quite a spiritual development to be able to move your body with your being directly. But let's talk about different ways of how the body can be spiritually alive. As I said, first of all, there is a parallel process of the learning about our spiritual nature and its various qualities and dimensions and ways it can be with the liberation of the body. The more the body is liberated, meaning the more we are free from the patterns of tension that go with emotional patterns, with mental patterns, they all reside in the body. The more we become aware of them, understand them and let them go. As they dissolve, you know, the spiritual nature transform to different ways, because the body was opaque, was transparent to them, wasn't allowing them to arise. It was not allowing those qualities or dimensions to show themselves, reveal themselves. But the, so really working through these kind of pattern of tensions are very important, not only in becoming aware of our spiritual presence, but being open to its various treasures residing in it as potential. So we can feel, the body can feel full of light, can feel full of love, can feel full of intelligence, full of awareness. So much full of awareness that it is awareness. Now the body, when you see it from perspective of spirit, or perspective of our spiritual nature, perspective of our true being, is really when the is an expression of this, our spiritual nature. It's not something that is it doesn't, there is no physical body in some sense that is alive without spiritual nature is animating it, making it alive. But at a deeper dimension of realization of the spiritual nature, we can experience that the body and all of physical reality made out of consciousness. So that's another way of a body being spiritually alive, in the sense it is not just alive and full of qualities of aliveness and love and energy and, you know, like the Shakti energy. That's one of the ways, one of the things that happens in the process of liberating the body. It fall, become, its energy starts flowing up and down and filling out and whether chakras or whatever, it basically it become energy become sort of a teeming kind of field that is thrilling and blissful usually. But then we go to deeper dimension of spirit when one can experience themselves not only at the presence filling the body, or the conscious awareness filling the body, but the presence and awareness that is, has no boundary. That is like no end. Like a spatial, like empty space is everywhere. So you feel I am, but I am everywhere. But when you feel I am everywhere, everywhere, that means you're everywhere in the body. I am in the body, in the usual sense, we were talking about it, but now I am in the muscles, I am in the cells, I am in the molecules, I am in the atom. I am so much in them that there's nothing left. I'm so much in them that is, there's no physicality anymore. I'm so much in them, I am them. That's so when our consciousness expands so that it is even bigger than the body, boundless and infinite, the body turns out to be nothing but light, nothing but consciousness. This is a form of consciousness, but it is a specific form of consciousness. That's why the Sufi sage said it is the shore of being, of the ocean of being. It is not like the middle of the ocean of being. It is the shore of the ocean of being. It is something different from just the being itself, because the body is an expression of being that has its own characteristics, its own laws. It follows physical laws, physics and chemistry apply to the physical body. They don't apply to the inner body, to the spiritual presence itself. Because the spiritual presence, no time and space apply to it. It's free from that. So I can be filling the body, coming through the body, feel I am embodied presence, or embodied consciousness, embodied spirit, which is very important to have in a spiritual path. Another way is that the body is in me. I am the consciousness and I hold the body and embrace the body, and the body is within me. I'm larger than the body, and the body is part of me, an expression of me, but a particular expression that is unique, that is what we call physical, that it is physical, but it is also spiritual at the same time. It is because everything is spiritual. From this dimension of spirituality, everything is made out of consciousness. The whole physical universe. So what's wrong with the body? Why can't the universe be? People talk about universe of consciousness. The whole universe is consciousness. And then they forget about their body. How about your body? Eh? If you feel your body as consciousness, it is made out of love, and you love it, and you want to take care of it. You want to keep it healthy. And because it is the way, it is the wormhole into the depth of consciousness. That's what we have available for us now. This is how we enter into pure spirit, pure presence of consciousness. And it is the shore then of this consciousness, where it is the way that this consciousness operates in this world on earth. And to interact with others, that there are others. We see their physical body, but we know they are more than a physical body. They are a being that is appearing, having an embodiment, having a physical embodiment. And there are many ways. And fact goes on further, and where the spiritual presence becomes empty awareness or empty consciousness, in the sense that the spaciousness of it is so spacious, there's nothing there. There's nothing there, but there is the physical body. Nothing there, like I feel I'm nothing there. This is like space, even emptier than space. And that's what the Buddhists call emptiness. I mean, the emptiness of existence. You feel you are beyond existence. You are the emptiness beyond existence. But however, the body is the other side, which brings existence, the beingness, the presence. There's a presence and there is emptiness. There is being and there is non-being. The body is on the side of being. There's an expression of being, but it can be seen as full of this emptiness that makes the body feel translucent. Translucent, smooth, the movement are fluid and light. Then you feel as if your body has no weight. Your body is so no weight because it's almost like made out of radiance. So the spiritual alive body can be the way I so far I mentioned it or described it, can be spiritual alive in the sense we feel it as a particular body that is full of the true nature of consciousness, and it is alive from within, and it is in fact that helps the body become more relaxed, makes it more transparent, and we can feel the body more fully actually than any body technique can do. No body technique, no massage can make you be that aware of the body as when consciousness is there pervading and filling the body. You could actually feel, know the which part of your brain you're sensing. Are you sensing the amygdala or the which part? You can sense it, feel it, sometimes you even see it. So spirituality is really is wedded to the body while we are alive, at least on this earth. Our spirit is so much the other side of the physical, like the physical is one side and the spirit the other side, and they're completely inseparable because they are ultimately the same thing. The body is one dimension of a spirit. That has that is a dimension that is different from other dimensions. The other dimension of spirit tend to have no constraints in terms of movement, interpenetration, and go like the physical bodies, you can't put the hand go through the other hand. You cannot do that. The physical bodies don't do that. However, spiritual nature, awareness can go through presence or can go through love. They can interpenetrate, you know, an immensity of will or solidity of true existence can interpenetrate with the delicacy and emptiness of awareness. There's no, nothing can confine them. So the physical laws don't apply. But the physical body has those things that apply to it that make it function the way it does. They make it walk, make it be able to drive a car, make you able to open a door, you know, make you able to cook, make you able to hold the fork. You can't do it if it was just the pure spirit. The pure spirit doesn't do these things. It just flows, just like air, just like even lighter than air. It's like ether. But it is the luminosity, the aliveness of the body. A true aliveness in the body, but it is alive in its own. Actually, it doesn't need the body to be alive. It life comes from the spirit. And life, the way I understand it, has come and life is in our and then true nature and the spiritual nature that pervade the whole universe, and then it emerges in this in a planet like this as some point as a physical life, as a physical organism that then evolves as spirit itself evolves the body into a different form until it becomes the human body, and the human body has the human brain that makes consciousness be able to look back and know itself and feel itself. Because the spiritual nature, the ocean of consciousness, cannot really experience itself without an organ of perception. And the body becomes that organ, at least while we are alive. But in this aliveness, we develop an inner organ so that when we leave the physical body, we have an organ of perception where we can perceive. We don't just go to oblivion.
There are a few questions. I see Evelyn has her hand raised. Can you unmute yourself, Evelyn?
Yes. First of all, thank you. I use Rumi in my but I work from source, and I call it source. And listening mm-hmm. to you, it sounds to me that source, when I'm not in the monkey brain and I'm with my clients, that uh-huh. that is a being. Am I correct in understanding that?
Well, how does the source feel to you?
It actually feels
source. What do you feel? What do you experience?
It feels that it comes from behind and through, and it doesn't. Stay in when things come back, it doesn't stay within me as a solid. It just kind of goes through and goes back. And it also feels that when I'm working with people that I'm with them, and it's like a
does it go through your body?
Yes.
It goes through your body, what's it feel like? What's the texture? Does it feel like spaciousness, as fullness, as
it feels
as what?
It feels warm.
Okay, there's warmth.
And without an ego is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, but without ego, it doesn't tell me what it is. It tells me what it doesn't have. I want to know what it has.
From here. But from behind.
Yeah. What does it feel? Is it like a field, is it an expanse? Or is it flow?
Flow.
Feel it like as a flow. Okay. Flow. Okay, so there's a flow of what?
Love, presence.
Of love, okay. So you feel that flow of love. Okay, so this is one way of experiencing our being as a flow. But the flow is not just flow. It's not flow of blood or of air. It is a flow of consciousness. That means this flow is conscious of itself, right?
Yes.
Knows itself. Okay.
there's a wonderful experience of being able to then have an external supervisor that I can send to different parts of the room as well while this is happening, which is fun.
Yeah, so that's nice that you're experiencing this flow and you recognize that the flow has consciousness, right? And so that's good. I think that's wonderful. And I think more can happen by you learning about what constitutes this flow. Mm-hmm. If you sense it, if you feel it, what is the sense? As you feel it, it might transform and bring up more dimensions of itself. Because the spiritual nature is not one thing. It's many ways it can be. So you experience it in one way, that's wonderful. You're alive this way, spiritually. So good to hear that. Thank you for sharing that.
All right. There are also plenty of questions in the question and answer box. And one which a couple of people want to answer it is from Lena. She's asking about the experience of pain and physical pain in relationship to presence.
Does Lena want to ask it herself?
Steve, can you bring Lena up?
Yep, she's in the room now. I've asked her to come.
Because I might have questions for her to answer her question.
Lena, just if you're comfortable.
Yeah, if she's comfortable to talk, that'd be good to have a conversation. Just like I had one with Evelyn.
Hello.
Hello, Lena. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I was just wondering feeling of pain in the body.
Yeah.
And the relationship to presence. And
what makes you ask the question?
For instance, I had an injury and I also work with people with injuries.
Uh-huh, I see.
You're
working with people who have pain.
To solve the injury, to get rid of the injury, but at the same time, it's also... maybe a message, or it has a reason.
So you're talking about other people's pain, not your own pain in this case, then?
Yeah, both, actually. Both.
Because sometimes you have pain too.
Mm-hmm.
Pain is a sensation, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
So... it is a sensation. Ultimately, all sensations are consciousness. But it is a sensation of consciousness that has become body, that has become physical, and that has its own laws. So the pain in the body is not the same as the pain. The pain in consciousness will feel like hurt. Somebody's emotionally hurt, like rejected, whatever. That's pain, emotional pain. Physical pain is different because it is in a different dimension of consciousness that we call physical.
Okay.
So, and the more, of course, consciousness, it depends on what kind of physical pain you're dealing with. Because if it is like muscular pain, for instance, something like that, bringing more consciousness can liberate it. However, if it is neurological pain, like nerve pains, bringing consciousness to it might not help. It might be better for somebody to be aware of other parts of themselves, let that part sort of get more silent, more. You don't, like if you know about working with people, you know somebody have nerve pain, you don't work on the nerve itself. That will make the pain more. Okay. So bringing consciousness to it doesn't always help. So, because pain is part of the physical dimension of nature and has its own laws, different from the laws. You can't make pain go away by filling it with consciousness, in other words, physical pain. Physical pain has a function. It's telling you there's something wrong here.
Right.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so hopefully that will be helpful.
Yes, it's very helpful.
And in fact, the more we are free of pain, because most people have pain, physical pain, one kind or another, you know. And we live with pain because the body has physical pain. It is part of the mechanism of the body, of body giving us messages about what's happening. It feels pleasure or pain depending on what's happening. So pain is not necessarily a bad thing, but at some point it becomes a difficulty because there is pain that is not useful. You already know that there is, what the message is, but the pain is still there because of an injury or something like that. So we work on relieving the pain, because a person feels pain and they don't yet have an expanded awareness or consciousness, that pain can become an obstacle to them becoming aware of their consciousness.
Yeah, I'm also thinking about generational trauma, like inherited even from before life, maybe from family ancestors.
You mean you talk about emotional pain now?
I think even it can show up in the physical.
Yeah, it can be psychosomatic, but that part. That part, the way to approach that is by finding out what is the source of that pain.
Okay.
Because it's not necessarily, something wrong with the body. It's coming from some psychical place.
Yes.
And so becoming aware of that and understanding that, working through that, can maybe help relieve that pain then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting question. I thought that might come up. Physicality as pain and pleasure.
Thank you so much.
We have another very interesting question in the question and answer box. I'm not sure if Mais Imad, who asked the question, is here. Steve?
Yeah, so I've invited Mais into the room. There we go.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for the session. And my question is, over the past couple of months, I have been feeling what I could also only describe as, I don't know, it feels like I've become lazy. But it just feels a spiritual and and an emotional lethargy. I'm not sick. I feel physically well, but I feel stagnant and really unable to do or connect or feel alive.
Yeah.
And I've been sitting with it.
Okay, good. So you're feeling sadness and heaviness lately.
Yes.
Do you know what the sadness about? What you're sad about? If you feel the sadness now, let the sadness happen, stay there. Feel the sadness. If you feel it. Feel it?
Yeah, I do. I do feel it.
Yeah, it happens. It's your sadness, so we welcome it. So we welcome our sadness. You feel it. It is like it's a field of sadness, actually, when you feel it, right? If you feel the sadness, does it bring up, what's it about? Does it stay as just sadness?
Yeah, it has to do. I feel just there's so much death and dying and I.
So you talk about the whole world now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. These days there's a lot of death and dying and endless and all that. So you're feeling sadness for all that. That makes sense. That means you have a very kind heart. If you feel the sadness, if you let it happen, when you're feeling sad for these people, right? All this death and dying, and not just that, and death, dying and suffering, right? Fear these days, a lot of fear, a lot of suffering, a lot of frustration, right? So you're feeling sad for that. So if you allow the sadness to emerge, to happen, to let it fill the heart, and just feel the feel of sadness. What does what's the sadness feel like?
Wow.
Warm, is it cold, is it light, is it heavy?
not bad. It's
felt what?
It's not bad.
Oh, I know it's not bad. I feel it. It doesn't feel bad to me.
Yeah.
As you stay with it, the sadness, you see, for other people can really connect you with something even deeper about you. When you feel sad about people, are you feeling sort of sad for them? You're sorry for them, for the suffering?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you wish they don't suffer.
Yes.
Yeah. So your sadness is the beginning of what I call kindness. Does that? When you feel sad about something like that, we call the person being kind, compassionate. And when you, so the sadness is the entry into this compassionate kindness. And if you feel it as a warmth pervading the whole heart, the whole chest cavity. You feel that?
Yeah.
You feel it. It feels like that. It feels almost like a gas that filled the whole area. And feel that sensation. Tell me what the sensation is like.
It's like submerged underwater.
Uh-huh, submerged in water. It's watery.
Yes.
Yeah. It has a watery feel sense to it. Okay.
Yes.
There's a wateriness to it. Yeah. So the heart has a watery feeling. The watery sensation has a delicacy to it, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Delicacy to it and some kind of vulnerability even, because it's like tears filling the heart. That shows you have a big heart. You really care for people. So that's your spiritual nature appearing first as sadness, but the sadness is the beginning of recognizing your compassion. Compassion is one way our consciousness expresses itself. As you notice, filling your heart. Is it filling just the heart or more of the body?
It's my heart and my chest, very much my chest. Yeah.
Very much your chest, right. The whole chest?
The whole chest.
Yeah. Now feel, can it go down below the chest?
Yeah, sometimes it does.
Yeah, so let it go down to the belly. Does it go?
Thank you.
Does it go to the belly?
Yeah.
Does it go to the legs?
No.
Just to the belly. So your chest and belly now have this watery sadness, delicacy. So you're knowing yourself as this delicacy. You are this warm water. You're inhabiting your body as this warm water. That makes you really human. The water quality of our consciousness is, I refer to it as the human quality. We feel really human, kind, human in a sense, be humane, truly human. We care for other human, we care for life. So you do, you're a good person that way. Your heart is open for other people suffering. Your compassion, that means you're kind, means you mean empathic, which is a quality that we need at the present time, actually, with all the problems. You know, if more people have this, you know, we'll be in better shape.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your heart with us.
That was a beautiful inquiry. Thank you, Mice, for being that brave. There is another question in the chat, which I think might be interesting from Larissa. Steve, can you bring Larissa up?
Larissa's in the room. You don't need to turn your video on if you don't want to, but you can unmute yourself.
Oh, that's okay. I'm here.
Hey, Larissa.
So I think my question was about what happens to our body when we die, right? And the spirit, the relationship between the spirit and the body when we die.
Happens to the body when you die? Why do you want to know that? You're still young.
I've had a lot of death of close people in my life over the past 10 years, and I feel
death that way. People, huh? You encounter death that way.
Yes.
Well, the question is not what happened to the body, what happens to them.
Even better.
Yeah, because the body, when they die, it's like spiritual nature leaves the body. It becomes just matter, like the rest of matter. As you notice, it becomes cold first. Then it's just, it doesn't have life. That's the first thing you notice. And if you really were there with somebody who died recently and you're with the body, you notice it's empty, like something is missing. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that?
I wasn't there. My brother was, and that's what he said.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what happens. We notice when we are with somebody who just died, it's like they left the body, mm-hmm. like the body's missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the body then, just like any physical body, go under the law of entropy. Begin to disintegrate. It's time for it to disintegrate. The interesting thing is what happened to the person, like your friend who died.
My father, yeah. What happens to them?
Yeah, what happened to your father?
Mm-hmm. 10 years ago.
Oh, that happened 10 years ago. Yeah.
But I feel him. I feel him with, which is interesting because I don't know enough about.
That's good. So you feel him with you. What do you feel when you feel him? What is it you feel when you say, I feel him?
Like there's a presence of him, and it's not all the time. It's usually I see him in my dreams, and when I'm having a difficult time, I feel him. And then I've had Reiki done, and I've been told that he's with you. He's in the room.
Mm-hmm. Good. So you feel him. So that means your body is stopped being, your father stopped being physical, but still alive.
That's how it feels sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, well, that tells you that life comes into the body and leaves the body, but continues as alive. So the more aliveness we feel in the body, both physical and if we feel the spiritual dimension, which enliven the body more, we become more aware of the source of that life. And that's where we become aware of what is in us that is alive. How do you feel your aliveness right now?
How do I feel it right now?
We're alive. How do you feel it?
I feel it mostly in my heart.
Yeah. What's happening in your heart?
It's like a sensation of excitement and curiosity and joy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. All these. That is you. That is your consciousness appearing as excitement, curiosity, joy. And it is the heart is one of the easiest places to feel it. But it can expand to fill the whole body. It's really the whole body, but it is appearing more explicitly in your heart. You're more in touch with yourself in your heart. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm working on opening up my heart.
Yeah. So it seems your heart is opening. You're feeling the joy. Like when you're feeling the joy, what's that like?
It's like a little kid jumping up and down.
Yeah, you're happy, right? Playful.
Yes.
That's the quality of joy, your spirit, the playfulness. And it could fill the heart, fill the whole body. And you sometimes you can't contain it. You want to just go play, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you become complete joy at some point. You become so joyful, you're all, you're the joy itself. Right. Now, if you feel joy in the heart, you can be that joy.
Yes, there are times when I feel it expand, but right now I'm feeling it in my heart.
That's enough for me.
Thank you. Such a pleasure.
Good to see your happy heart.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Honored to be in the same room with you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope I answered your question okay, you know, but nice interaction.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good.
Right. There are some really beautiful questions, and I'm trying to pick the ones which are not coming in different shapes.
Yeah, okay.
So next one, I would like to take Ian. Steve, is Ian in the main room?
Again, I've invited Ian in, so you can turn your video on or unmute as you like, Ian.
All right, thank you.
Hello, Ian.
Hi, Hamid. It's a pleasure to speak with you and an honor.
Where are you? Where are you speaking from?
I'm in Sandy Hook, Connecticut.
Uh-huh, okay.
And my question is, I've read your Inner Journey Home, and
you read that whole book. That's a big one.
Most of it. It took a long time, and I traveled and kept it close to me, and it inspired me a lot. And I do believe your work is very inspired and brilliant, and I wanted to take this opportunity to give you a chance to share a little bit about your creative process when it comes to writing. It's a gift to see you in person, but I think a lot of us know you through your written word. And I was curious if you could share a little bit what your writing creative process is like.
Well, first of all, you know, I usually have a string or flow of experience of illumination or spiritual awakening of different kinds and its relationship to my mind and history and all of that. So I start writing because I already have a lot of knowledge there from direct experience. So I start writing that, writing what I already know. But as I write, what I already know comes in the writing. It is alive at the time I write. And as I write, I learn more. Because what I'm writing about is here revealing itself even more. I end up writing more things than I thought I was going to write. And I learn in the process of writing. That's how I experience it. So it's wonderful to do that kind of writing because I'm full of spirit, full of life, and it is dynamic and revealing itself. So the knowledge I already have from experience builds on itself and evolves in the process of writing. So in the Inner Journey Home, actually, just like any other books, it's sort of, you see, at the beginning, I have an idea of a structure of a book, you know, or like what parts, what I'm going to write. But as I write, it creates itself. It creates its own structures. When this chapter should end, when this part, these chapters should end, and another thing start. It's a creative process where the creativity is not the creativity of my mind. The creativity is coming from a spiritual dimension that is creating everything. And it's creating the words as I write them. So for me, you know, I'm usually, after a writing session, I'm bursting with aliveness and presence because I'm learning so much. So it's an interesting question to to have, which make me want to ask you a question. Are you interested in writing?
I think about it sometimes, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what made you ask the question?
I guess because the process of reading it, it's different than like when I feel like I read a story. I feel like it reminds me of sometimes like phenomenology, where I feel like I almost like a guided meditation through reading your words, and I'm kind of transforming along with the information that you're sharing. And it feels like at times like a meandering stream, but also like an opening flower. And it's just really beautiful and pretty. And I guess the idea that you're a mystic, but also a scholar, and both of those things I think come through in your writing, and they both really speak to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's, I feel like I've been searching, and for me, a lot of people are feel like one versus the other. And I really appreciate the mixture in yours. It feels very detailed and direct, but also like the when you mentioned Sufi, there's a poetic aspect that feels.
Yeah, powerful. Yeah. It's beautiful the way you're describing how you're reading the books. I wish everybody reads my books that way, because it seems the book comes alive in you. Spiritually.
Yeah.
Which is the way it is written, and the way it's intended. And if one is really open to learn, you can learn from it that way. The knowledge becomes alive in you as your own knowledge. So that's great. That is the book is full of that presence. So if you're open to it, it awakens in you.
Indeed. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. So for you, it's for me to give writing, for you it's creative reading.
Yes.
It creates experience in you. It's not just mental understanding. Because really, it's not, as I said, it's not my mind that writes it. My mind is used, right? Because my mind has memories and stuff, you know, that some knowledge I write here and there. But it is used by spiritual nature itself. That is right. One thing many people don't know. They don't know that the mind can be used by spirit. They think the mind is a problem for spirit. They don't see the mind. Yeah, at the beginning, the mind can be a problem with spirit. But when one is becoming the spiritual nature, the mind is just a tool that can be used by spirit itself to express itself, as in writing or in speaking, the way we're speaking now. So you appreciate that marriage of mind and spirit, you see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and it's not like I would read the book cover to cover. I would just sometimes, different parts would feel called to me in the moment, and I would read it until eventually it just saturated through me. That's how
it interacted. That's the way to read it. You can't read a book like this cover to cover. I mean, if somebody reads it cover to cover, it will be bound to be mostly mental. If it is experiential, might be too much for the nervous system. So it's good you take your time with it that way. That's the way I would read it. That's how I read spiritual books anyway. You're like me that way. Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, good day, Anya.
It's lovely to, observe these conversations. We do have 3, maybe 4 more minutes, and
one more question. Oh, yeah, you want to stop 5 minutes before? So, okay, it's time to do that now.
I would like to bring another question in, and since this name is more often, I'm simply reading it here. Yeah. Personally interested in that as well. And the question is about the relationship between the anagram types and embodiment. If you could say something about that.
The anagram types, really types of our sense of self. And the sense of self is, of course, you know, your consciousness knows itself as a self with a particle type, but it is embodied in the physical body. So different types will have different ways they relate to their body, different way they express themselves through the body. But differences are not significant in terms of the body. The differences is how they experience themselves within the body. You know, what's it like? How do they experience themselves? Because that brings in both the consciousness and the body together. But usually, you know, the type, I know the type very well, I write about them. I'm going to have a new book about the types. You know, it's called Keys to the Enneagram, which discusses more the spiritual qualities that unlock each type and to reveal the spiritual quality. That's hopefully will come out next year. It will take time for publication. But it's an interesting question. I think it's more how one expresses himself through the body.
That's it, how it happens. People relate to their body in different anagram types and how... Yeah. Yeah, how aware they are, or how what priority the body takes.
Well, I mean, how aware one of the body doesn't depend on the type. That doesn't depend on the type. I mean, some people say maybe the five there because they're mental, or seven, they're not aware of their body. Depends. There are some threes or twos or nines who are not aware of their body at all.
I would love to go deeper here, but we're getting to the end. Like, this is kind of where I'm getting really interested. But,
yeah, it's an interesting area. But I appreciate being with everybody. So, and thank you all for being here and bringing questions. Okay, Danielle, it's your turn.
Yes, it is my turn. And please stay for a moment because I have a last question for you in a moment. However, before that, where can people find out more about you?
Well, we have a website, diamondapproach.org. It is one our main website. And of course, my books. You know, under A.H. Almaz. And we have online programs, you know, in our online department, online courses and seminars and all of that. And that is in Diamond Approach Online .org. Yeah. So, but if you go to diamondapproach.org, it will have all the other things in it.
Perfect. Yeah, Steve just put the website into the chat. So please click there if you'd like to find out more.
Yeah, Diamond Approach, one word, yeah.
If you want to continue the discussion, there are different ways. And I do really encourage people to talk with each other, because this is a way how you can actually reflect on what is happening, reflect on the processes, but also network. So reflection is a big part of the learning process itself. And we do have the coffee breaks for this, which you can find on the portal, or you join the Facebook group, where there is quite a lot of very nice discussion and exchange. And last but not least, I would really, really appreciate if you would buy the recordings. These conference is it's free to access as long as it's live, but it was not free to set up. It costs blood, tears, and a lot of money. And we really appreciate your support. We want to make embodiment available for all, but we do need the support to cover the costs in the end. If you buy the recordings, it's a way to say thank you to us, but it's also a way to make this kind of work available for those who genuinely can't afford this. So please consider that. For the rest, I would love to give the mic back to Hamid, asking for what do you want people to take out of this talk out into the world in one sentence, because we're putting this also in a book in the end.
if you really care about embodiment, the practice I gave you, the sensing, looking, listening, will help a great deal. It will help spiritual embodiment, the aliveness in the body and the embodiment of spirit.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It was a great honor to host you tonight and observe how you work with people, the inquiries, very rich. And
you notice, I don't just answer questions.
Yeah, I noticed
that. People are used to somebody, it becomes mental. I work with people, I interact, and that's where people learn. They don't just learn words.
Yeah, that was super interesting to observe. Thank you so much. That was quite a lecture.
My pleasure.
I really hope to see you again, and wishing you a wonderful day. Thank you so much.